First MetroSec is providing this podcast as a general market commentary. Reference to any specific security, product, or entity do not constitute as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments or to participate in any particular trading strategy. The statements, comments, views, or opinions expressed by the hosts are subject to change without notice, and First MetroSec is under no obligation to update, amend, change, or correct any of the statements, comments, views, or opinions expressed. The statements, comments, views, and opinions expressed by the guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the view of First MetroSec. First MetroSec disclaims any liability arising from reliance on or reference to any information obtained in this podcast.
Podcast Network Asia.
You are listening to First Metro Securities Philippine Stock Market Weekly Podcast, where we feature timely and relevant discussions on the Philippine stock market and the economy in the hope of providing you investing and trading guidance. Here's your host, Royce Aguilar, from the Research Department at First Metro Sec.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Philippine stock market wrap-up, and we will discuss what happened in November 2021. Since it's December 1st today, we will also discuss what happened today in the market, right? So probably a lot of you are curious, or probably you guys already know what happened. But let's discuss what we think of the market given the risks right now. So let's discuss it this way. So to be honest, there are a lot of topics that we will discuss today. I hear your suggestions. We will discuss them today. So first is we will discuss what happened in the month of November, what to watch out for the last year, for the last month of 2021. We will discuss the historical data during December, or of course, you guys should be excited about, will there be a Santa Claus rally, especially with this new risk? And then we will discuss a couple of the IPOs that we'll list this December. And then we will discuss new stock picks and Trader's Playbook pick, okay? So let's discuss what happened in the month of November. So in November alone, guys, in November alone, we ended the trading last Monday. So from November 1 to November 30, the PCI further rallied by 2.1%, ended at 7,200. But taking into consideration the market action today, year to date, the PCI is down by 2.7%. to close at 6,847. So again, this recording is December 1 and the PCI is down by 2.7% year-to-date. If we were to end the PCI last Monday, year-to-date, it would have been up by 0.9%. But given the huge drop earlier, the PCI is back to the negative year-to-date. So what made the market go up in the early part of November? Okay, so keep in mind that we hit 7,400 in the early part of November because we saw better than expected third quarter GDP, right? 7% higher year on year. In terms of estimate, it was around only mid 4%. And then we know that the government announced the lowering of Metro Manila's quarantine status to alert level 2 and the lifting of general curfew in the capital region, right? And then national COVID cases went below 1,000, but even went below 500 sometime earlier this week. What dragged the market in the latter part of November is what dragged the market today, December 1. So there's this new variant called the Omicron. And then this is related to the MSCI rebalancing, right? When the recent MSCI rebalancing was in terms of the Standard Cap Index, where most of the bigger names are included. What happened there was AC Energy and Monday were included. So in terms of the negative impact to the near-term share price action of the other MSCI names, what happened was fund managers had to make room to include AC Engine Converge. That's why they had to sell a bit of the other index names, right? So this was supposed to be a temporary thing in terms of the pullback. But what happened was because of the new variant, the drop was further exacerbated, okay? So, in terms of the MSCI name that was removed, Double Dragon was removed from the small cap index. Keep in mind, MSCI, we have MSCI Philippine Standard Index, where most of the bigger cap names, right, the AC Energy, the Converge, the bigger banks, the bigger holding companies, SM, AC, right? And then the smaller cap indices, the smaller cap index, that's where you will find, for example, Vistaland, Semirara, right? So Double Dragon was deleted. That's why you saw the huge drop in Double Dragon share price. So moving on, let's discuss the price action. So I updated this as of today. So the new support, if you ask us, is around 6,750, 6,800. And then the resistance, of course, this was our previous support. Now it becomes a resistance, 7,000, 7,200. So if you look at the chart, in the past two trading days alone, the market dropped sharply enough to break below both the 7,200 and the 7,000 support levels, even the 50-day MA. And right now, the PSCI is retesting the 100-day MA. So the MACD confirms the bearish momentum. Although on a positive note, if you take a look at RSI, it's near oversold levels, where RSI right now is around 32.76. And if you take a look at the, for the past months, for the past years, every time the PSCI hovers near oversold levels or even slightly below oversold levels, the market quickly rebounds. And of course, the question there is if it's sustainable. But the thing here is, if you're looking to buy tomorrow, December 2 could be an opportunity. If you're looking to unload, the next days could be a good opportunity to unload. But our recommendation is buy the dips, especially on the opening names. So we will delve on that later. So just to discuss the new variant, again, this is, I'm discussing this December 1, okay? And the source that I have is World Health Organization. The data about the new variant is as of November 28. So it's pretty obvious, or it's pretty, the World Health Organization and other analysts, health analysts, are transparent enough to say that they're still investigating about this new variant. And any details could be disclosed after this said wrap-up event. Okay, so again, this is as of December 1. The data that I have is as of November 28. So what is Omicron in terms of transmissibility? It's not yet clear whether Omicron is more transmissible compared to other variants, including Delta, but the number of people testing positive has risen in South Africa. And as I've said, studies are underway to understand Omicron or other factors. In terms of the severity of the disease, it's not yet clear whether infection with Omicron causes more severe diseases, but preliminary data suggests that the increasing rates of hospitalization in South Africa, but this may be due to increasing overall numbers of people becoming infected. So there's data that has yet to be disclosed because scientists, the best scientists all over the world, are still investigating about this new variant. Okay? And then in terms of the effectiveness, so the preliminary evidence suggests that there may be increased risk of a reinfection with Omicron as compared to other variants of concern, but information is limited as of today. So more information on this will become available in the coming days and weeks. So that's why it's very important now more than ever to refer to reliable sources. So I'm sourcing World Health Organization, CDC could be one, and probably it could be reposted or mimicked by DOH in the coming days and weeks. But right now, there's still a lot of things to be known about this new variant. That's why you see the market pulling back. Not only the local market, but the global markets. Because market, equities market, hate uncertainty. And right now, Omicron is still an uncertainty. So to what do you watch out for in December 2021? So the Omicron variant and its implication to the numbers of cases and lockdown measures in PH, will reproduction number continue to subside? And then in terms of economic data, there's the manufacturing data. In terms of manufacturing data, it's on December 1, right? It was disclosed today. Factory was the highest in past 8 months. There's inflation also, no remittances, right? And then in terms of COVID-19 vaccine-related news, arrival of more vaccines is important. Oil prices is something to still be observed, right? In terms of monetary board action, a lot of central banks are set to meet again around December 16, December 17. So that's something to watch out for in terms of what do they think about inflation and the implication of Omicron, take into account their monetary policy moving forward. So this is another segment that I added. We actually had a podcast for this last year about the Santa Claus rally. Let's try to, you know, update the data a bit. Okay. So in terms of Santa Claus rally, so the bottom line here is, I just put here the performance of the PSCI in the month of December. And I dissected it a bit. And I tracked the 30 years performance of the market. For example, on this bullet, for those listening to the podcast, from 1990 to 2020, the market was up 60% of the time during the first half of December. Okay, that's the past 30 years. And then from 1990 to 2020, the market was up 77% of the time during the second half of December. And then same period of time, for the whole month of December, the market was up 77% of the time. So based from this alone, the data suggests that the probability of the market being up in December is quite high. But of course, looking at the performance of the market today, December 1, it's not faring well so far because we're now down by 3.5% just in the first day of December alone. But just looking at this data alone, solely on this data alone, the probability is that we'll likely end up higher. But if you ask me, why is the equity markets usually positive on December? It could be fueled by holiday spirit, increased holiday shopping, and investing of holiday bonuses that we get, like a 30-month pay. Some other companies give more than 30-month pay, right? Another theory is that this is the time of the year when institutional investors go on vacation, leaving the market to retail investors who tend to be more bullish. Of course, there are a lot of market anomalies like start of the year and the like. It may just be random. There's no guarantee that it will continue into the future. So the better strategy is to maintain a long-term investment strategy, not be tempted by the promise of Santa Claus rallies or January effects. Okay? The market could be up this month. The market could be down this month. But you should stick to your long-term investment strategy. And if you ask us, given the variant that is existing right now, we should maintain a long-term investment strategy and continue to buy the dips, especially on reopening winners. Because if you ask us, the reopening of the economy could be delayed, but we will get there. You saw what happened with the Delta variant. The reopening got delayed, but you saw how the past weeks, how aggressive the Philippine economy has reopened. And you notice how the PSCI reacted to that, hitting a size 7,400. But due to this new variant, we quickly went back below 7,000. But bottom line is, we will get there. In terms of vaccination, we are at the record highs almost every day in terms of vaccination. Right? So we will get there. It's just a matter of when. Okay? But again, the best strategy is to maintain a long-term strategy and not be blinded by the short-term risks or this market anomalies. Okay? But it's good to know that there's a good chance that the market will be up this month. But if it doesn't, the bottom line here is we should stick with our long-term investment strategy. The market was up 77% of the time during the whole month of December. Okay? So the bottom line here is usually the market is stronger on the latter part of the month. Okay? So that's the key takeaway here during the month of December. So now let's discuss IPOs. Okay? So I dissected a bit a couple of IPOs a couple of companies that are planning to list this month. So first one is discuss Medilines. So Medic. So first one, let's define who Medic is. So Medic is an essential distributor of critical medical equipment to public and private healthcare facilities across the Philippines. So basically, they import their equipment from multinational medical device companies such as Siemens, B. Braun, and Varian for different purposes. In addition to who Medic is, in terms of their response to the COVID-19 pandemic and resulting acute need for timely medical care, Medic has supported the Philippine healthcare system through the distribution of its critical medical equipment such as CT scan machines, X-ray machines, which help the early detection of possible COVID-19 complications. So probably this will answer your question of how Medic plays a role in this COVID-19 pandemic. So that's how they are resolving the early detection of possible COVID-19 complications. So a good thing to note here is their customers are primarily the Philippine government through the Department of Health, LGUs, private healthcare facilities, such as hospitals, clinics, and diagnostic centers. Their earnings for the past 3 years. So you will notice that profit has significantly risen in the year 2020. Okay. So you could see even for the 6 month period ended June 30, 2021, you could see the significant improvement. And then a good thing to note always when taking a look at IPOs is where they will use their proceeds. And for Medic, their use of proceeds are split into two things. First is working capital in relation to the procurement of existing products and buildup of medical consumers inventory. So out of the 1.28 billion estimated net proceeds, 540 million of which are allocated to that working capital. And then for the rest, the 740 million is allocated to repaying debt. So in terms of their investment highlights, again, I got this from their prospectus. They're well-positioned in a large, attractive, and growing Philippine healthcare industry. Okay? So what their focus is specifically on imaging, dialysis, and cancer therapy. It's the dominant player in the distribution segment of dialysis and cancer therapy. And according to them, they have a market of 50% and 90% respectively on those two segments. Okay, so they're trying to further grow their presence in the diagnostic imaging. So next is their market dominance positions them to capture the continued growth in the healthcare industry. They mentioned in their briefing that additional investments are expected to be made in compliance with the universal healthcare law. So public-private partnerships aimed at developing the public healthcare sector, they expect a steady stream of financial aids from international health organizations. Okay. Another investment highlight is they have a broad portfolio of core critical medical equipment to address the need of public and private healthcare facilities across the Philippines. In terms of their medical equipment segments, it's collectively valued at 17 billion in 2020. So bulk of which, or specifically 14.7 billion for diagnostic imaging, 1 billion for dialysis, and 1.3 billion for cancer therapy. And according to Ken Research, which they source, each segment are projected to grow double digit in terms of compounded annual growth rate until 2025. Okay. So that's what they're pushing for. In terms of their strategies, they expect to join big ticket projects in both public and private hospitals. They expect to develop their customer base in the underpenetrated markets across the country. They even plan to expand to consumable segment of their core product categories. And then they plan to venture into high profit into other high profit healthcare categories in the long term. So of course, I also like to mention the risk to investing in Medic, and this is still according to them. And what they mentioned is they rely on a limited number of third-party suppliers for their merchandise and medical devices. So 87% of their total procurement last 2020 came from their major principals like Siemens, B. Braun, and Varian. So of course, the risk there is they may experience material disruptions in the supply of products due to prolonged interruptions in the operations of their suppliers, and that could affect their operations significantly. Another risk is they're highly dependent on business with government hospitals. Okay, majority of Medic's customers are government hospitals whose purchases are done through competitive public bidding. And this is good to note that their revenues from sales to government hospitals accounted for approximately 89% and 78% of their revenues in 2020 and for the 6 months of 2021. So they rely heavily on those bidding process. So the company is also dependent on the business with the DOH, which is their single largest customer. So the spending behavior of the department is subject to a multitude of factors which may affect the size of the procurement of medical equipment that, you know, it lets third-party providers such as Medic bid for. So those are the risks for Medic. Another company that we would like to tackle is SPNEC. Okay, Solar Philippines Nueva Ecija Corporation. So SPNEC was incorporated with the SEC last November 2016. So the sole purpose of SPNEC is to construct and operate and maintain renewable energy power plants associated with the development and supply of renewable energy. So most of its proceeds, or probably all of its proceeds, will be used to develop this 500 megawatt direct current solar power plant in Landa, Nueva Ecija. So for those who can see the slide, this is basically the corporate structure. So it's clear that the one who will list is not Solar Philippines as a whole, but only Solar Philippines Nueva Ecija Corporation. And in terms of their earnings, they mentioned in one of the disclosures that it's not yet operating, right? Because the proceeds that will be used will be utilized to build the said power plant. So if you take a look at this slide, they're still incurring net losses, okay? So from 2019 to 2020, they're still posting net losses of 10 million and 8 million respectively. And then for the six-month period ended at June 30, they posted net loss of 17.9 million. So in terms of the proceeds, the company intends to use the proceeds from the offer to finance the construction and development of Phase 1A, fund the transmission line construction and lease during the construction of Phase 1, and finance the company's general corporate requirements. So specifically at that 500 megawatt power plant, solely for that one. So in terms of their investment highlights, again, I got this from their prospectus. One of the advantages that they think they have is they already secured their project site and grid connection. The company has already secured the land needed for the project, having leasing rights of over 352 hectares. The company is working to secure all relevant permits for the said project site. And then as of the date of this prospectus, which is around this quarter, fourth quarter of the year, the company is waiting for the certificate of finality from the Department of Agrarian Reform to effectively cause the conversion of the said land from agricultural to industrial classification. So they expect that sometime soon. Another investment highlight that they have is economies of scale. According to them, the project, upon its targeted commencement of commercial operations next year, they plan to be, or they target to be, the country's largest ground-mounted solar power project. So the company believes that these economies of scale will enable them to spread over a larger capacity the fixed cost of construction and operations to achieve a cost advantage. Another is they have this expertise in the solar development. So according to them, SPNEC can tap the senior management from the Solar Philippines Group. So they even have individuals working with them that have experience in other markets like in India, Indonesia, and US. In terms of strategy, they plan to be this extensive solar power company. Specifically, they plan to participate in distribution utilities competitive selection process. They even plan to sell to retail electricity suppliers to basically expand their revenue source. Okay. In terms of risk, they have limited operating history and track record. Okay. And what I mean is the SPNEC. They also rely on importation of critical parts. So, of course, given what we have now, the supply chain issue, and since they import critical parts, that could be a risk to them. And then lastly, this is more of a solar, this is more of a sector-wide risk. So the government can amend, revoke, reduce, or eliminate subsidies and economic incentives for solar energy. So that could be a risk to the whole solar energy sector. In terms of new stock picks, we've been mentioning for the past months already what are our main stock picks. I will mention here our new stock picks, and I will reiterate later all of our top picks. So first one is we have Megaworld, another addition to our list of property names. So this is supposed to be buy pick properties. So for Megaworld, our current target price is 5.10. So Meg is still the country's largest office developer and landlord, offering best exposure to the BPO sectors, accounting for 70% of its total lease within 77 premier offices across its township. The good thing here is big vacancy rates are improving among its BPO spaces. Okay. Another thing for Megaworld is its REIT listing should unlock Meg's office valuation. So Meg's office portfolio in prime locations, as well as the long development time frame and limited land availability, makes it difficult for competitors to replicate and achieve a similar scale. So that's for the property. That's the parent company of MREIT. We will tackle later MREIT. So for the REITs, RCR is also our pick, our new buy pick for REITs. So for RCR, one of our main thesis here, its parent company, Robinson's Land, plans to infuse more assets into RCR. So that will increase the value of RCR. You saw what happened with A-REIT when Ayala Land infused more assets into A-REIT. The share price kept on going up and the yield was maintained. So we expect that to happen with RCR and MREIT as well. But first, with PhilReit, our target price for PhilReit is 7.72. You'll probably be asking why the share price of PhilReit have been increasing prior to the new variant. It's because it got added to the MSCI. That's the effect of a new stock getting added to the MSCI. So for PhilReit, going back to its fundamentals, we expect PhilReit's distributable income to grow by 3.4%, right? From 2021 to 2023. Since we expect occupancy rates to improve and resumption of annual rental escalations. Okay. For MREIT, the REIT that which we are most bullish about. And the same reason with RCR, Megaworld, the parent company, plans to infuse more assets into MREIT. And we are of the view that the properties that we're infusing into MREIT right now are small compared to what we expect Megaworld, the parent company, will infuse to MREIT in the coming months or years. So our target price for MREIT is 21. For Converge, just to reiterate, our target price for Converge is 41 pesos. Okay? So it's mostly how underpenetrated its target market is. And prior to listing, it's mostly exposed to the Luzon area. So their target is to penetrate other areas specifically outside of Luzon. So there's a large room for Converge to work with. So our target price is 41. So basically our top picks. Okay, just this is as of December 1. This is the upside for our stock picks as of today. Okay. So you will notice for those who have been monitoring our monthly wrap-up is we actually increased the target price for Ayala Land, SM Prime, and RLC. So our target price for Ayala Land is now 52, SMPH from 42 to 48, and then for RLC, 26 to 30. And just to mention the upside for each names, especially for those listening to the podcast, for SM, the upside is 34.5%. For Ayala Land, 56%. For SMPH, 37%. For RLC, 67%. For MEG, 68%. Again, our target price for MEG is 5.10. And now the upside as of December 1 is 68%. For FB, it's 51%. For RHI, 31%. For BDO, 37%. For BPI, 16%. For Monday, 35%. For Converge, 28%. For RCR, 4.9%. For FieldReit, 2.1%. For MREIT, 14.9%. And then for model port, again, this is as of December 1. This is supposed to be as of December 1. It's slightly underperforming as compared to the equal weight. Our model port is underperforming compared to the PSCI, right? And if you take a look at market cap weighted return, it's down by 4.2% compared to PSCI, which is down by 2.7%. But assuming you bought our top picks since the start of the year equally, you would have outperformed PSCI by 0.1%. And then just for Traders Playbook, we have a lot of playbook picks. And then one is Frutas. You will notice that despite the huge market correction, it's still finding support at the 1.20 area. So that's the main thesis of this Frutas playbook report. And then as for news flow, sentiment may further turn positive since Fruit reinforced its commitment to focus its resources to take advantage of the expected recovery from the food service business. You will notice that they disclosed sometime earlier this month that they will not pursue the acquisition of Sure Health multi-specialty after management recognized concerns that this may become a distraction from pursuing opportunities in its core food beverage retail business. And a lot of investors seem to think the same because after that announcement, the shares of Frutas actually went up a bit. Okay, that's so that's prior to the Omicron, the new variant. But nevertheless, 1.20 is still a strong support area for Frutas. And for us, should Frutas trade above 1.32 or 1.40, we think the sentiment should have shifted to the bulls by then. And then just to promote our podcast, again, you will notice that our podcast, we always post content in our podcast. It's available on Spotify, Google, Apple. Our new podcast, which we uploaded, we interviewed Mr. John Eric French of ASEN. We talked about how are they outperforming both in earnings and share price and how are they planning to further grow, not only in the Philippines, but in other countries. So it's something to listen, especially for those ASEN investors out there. So thank you. So we will have a 2-minute break and then I'll be happy to answer all your questions. So please feel free to type your questions. Okay, so hello, it's time to answer your question. So first is, are consumer stocks good to invest during December period? Yes, that's a good question. And the answer is yes. But for us, just to name a few consumer companies. So the consumer companies are usually divided into two. Consumer discretionary. Those are your groceries, your necessities, and then consumer staples. Consumer staples is the one that are necessities, the groceries. Consumer discretionary are the likes of stores inside the mall that are not necessarily qualified as a need. FB is part of consumer discretionary. RHI is part of consumer discretionary. For consumer staples, you have their pure gold, right? But for us, if you're looking for higher upside, we prefer FB RHI. Okay, we understand that this new variant is a risk to them because it can affect sentiment towards tourism. It could affect sentiment towards people going to the malls. But that's where you will find the most upside. And just like what I mentioned earlier, you saw how the market reacted post-Delta. It's pretty strong. And we expect the same sentiment once this new variant is done. Another question is, which Philippine stock was removed on the MSCI rebalancing? So we answered this earlier. It was Double Dragon. It was removed from the MSCI Small Cap Index. That's why you saw that stock go down by 25% in November alone. So it's extreme oversold right now. Next question is, what's the status for Citicorp IPO? There seems to be no news now. I believe they delayed their listing date, and I believe their offer period will now be in February 2022. I think that's the temporary. So we will let you know if there's updated news on Citicorp IPO. But right now, it got delayed. Okay, another question is, some companies still give out good dividends even net income is underperforming. One example is LTG. Why is that? Do they give tax deductions when they give out dividends? You have to take into account, for LTG, it's a special case, because for LTG, if you take a look at the earnings of PNB, that's what dragged its headline number. But at the parent level, it still has a huge cash flow, specifically from its tobacco business. From its tobacco business, you will notice that despite lower cigarette consumption, lower cigarette volume, their numbers have been flat, sometimes even up. It's because they were able to successfully pass on the cost to the consumers. Their bottom line is they have huge cash that they receive from the tobacco business. Okay, the tobacco business has been the one, you know, making the company less underperforming in terms of earnings. So because of the tobacco business, LTG is quite profitable. Okay, so they have huge pile of cash from that tobacco business. And part of that was given out as dividends, special dividends. Right, so that's where it came from. The next question is, what do you think is the reason why names like BDO, SMPH, Ali suffered the most today, December 1, compared to the broader market? So, because they are reopening names, the banks, the properties are reopening names, they went down today because the risk of them to further reopen is now increasing. Now, once the new variant comes in, baka maging strict ulit yung government, diba? Affecting the reopening names. That's why they got affected the most. Diba? You notice SM down by nearly 5%, SMPH over 6%. You don't see that often. And that's because of the risk to this new variant. And like I've said earlier, this variant is still being further studied. So there could be a risk that the market could go down further. Right? That's a risk. But for us, it's something to take advantage of. That brings us to the next question. What is our projected PSCI index level year in 2021? Again, we compute our PSCI index level, guys, based on fundamentals. Okay? So we've been mentioning that our fundamentals by year end 2021 is 8,000. So, of course, it's pretty clear now that the market will unlikely hit 8,000 by year end. But what does that tell us? It tells us that there's upside in the market coming into 2022. So we will let you know once we do have already a 2022 outlook. But for us, the upside is there. And we think that for 2021, the market has been undervalued. So that's something to take into consideration, especially buying the reopening names. Okay, so this is a good question. So given that Double Dragon was sold down due to the MSCI rebalancing, what is our take on Double Dragon's fair value? Well, Double Dragon compared to, diba, when it rallied to 80 pesos years ago, it's now undervalued even compared to the other property names. So if you ask me, there's actually a Traders Playbook published just a while ago regarding Double Dragon. So it was published by me, and we think it's something to trade, right? It's extremely oversold on a technical analysis perspective. Every time its RSI hits like below 15, within the next 2 months, it usually goes up by 10%. So it's something to probably trade at, okay? But again, if you ask us what's our long-term property picks, it's SMPH, Ayala Land, RLC, and Mega World. But if you want to trade a bit this market, the question is, sino ba yung mga isa sa mga pinaka-oversold the property names, Double Dragon? So something to take into consideration. Okay, another question is, it's a good question. How about DMC? Is it overbought territory or goodbye given that there's increasing demand for coal and going construction business? That's a good question, and my answer is yes. It is a goodbye, especially with SEC also. There's increasing demand for coal, and not to mention coal prices have rallied. And according to management, according to their earnings call last month, last November, they mentioned that they expect fourth quarter to be strong also. I'm talking about the coal business. So that, of course, that also that directly affects DMC. And then construction has picked up also. Of course, they are picking up construction activities ahead of the construction ban early next year. So fourth quarter is expected to be strong for DMC. And I'm not going to be surprised if they give out special dividends again. So that's my opinion. So next question is, which sectors are good to bank in for the election period? So, of course, consumer names, right? Consumer names are usually the outperformers, or at least concept-wise in terms of for elections, okay? So expect construction and cement to underperform since during election may ban in construction. But yeah, consumers of all kind are expected to outperform during the election period. Even yung vehicles, because diba usually a lot of candidates tend to travel all around the country or all around their towns or their barangays, diba? So yung mga vehicles usually malakas demand during election period. Something to consider. Okay, this is a good question. Among REITs, DDMPR was trading at from IP of 2.25, right now it's 1.8 level. Why is that? So prior to listing, we discussed that DDMPR has advantages and disadvantages. One of its advantages, okay, sa kanilang land. So yung dividends moving forward will not only come from rental income but also comes from the value of the land. But the disadvantage I mentioned was it's highly exposed to, I won't say high, but relatively compared to the other REITs, it has relatively high exposure to POGOs. And we've seen POGOs leave the country significantly in the past few months. Yun yung problem for DDMPR, at least for sentiment. Okay? The last question that we have here is, how long is our time horizon for reopening place like SMPH and Ali? So, usually within the next 12 to 24 months. Okay? So, for us, we've been mentioning our target price for SMPH and Ali for so long, but for us, we think there's huge upside for SMPH and Ali. So, there. Okay, so with all the questions already answered, that ends our November market wrap-up. Thank you. This has been Royce Aguilar, Equity Research Analyst. And as always, with First Metro Securities, it's hashtag your future first. So thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to First Metro Securities Philippine Stock Market Weekly Podcast. Don't forget to follow us to get first dibs on our new episodes. For more up-to-date market news and info, exclusive content, and the opportunity to connect with your fellow Filipino investors and traders, join facebook.com/groups/FirstMetroSec and be part of the First Metro Sec family.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.